Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We are joined this hour by Will Hanna, who is a Democratic candidate for the Maryland House of Delegates 40th District and Executive Director of the New Park Heights Community Development Corporation. And, Will, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good evening, Mark.
I was thrown off there. I thought we had a short program to play first, but I guess we don't. We were looking at different races around the community that had challenges in them that we could bring folks on to have a discussion. Yours is one of those races in the 40th District. We did talk to other people in that race. We didn't hear back from some of the incumbents. Frank Conaway Jr. did not call us back. Bob Robinson wanted to come on but alone and not in a debate. And we only had limited time, so we wanted to have a short debate here on the air. Sean Tarrant I talked to for an extensive amount of time today, and I will say that Sean is one of those guys who I've known for a long time, who I think is an honorable man in his position and works off this community. And he couldn't make it tonight and said he is going door-to-door for the next week and doesn't want to do anything but knock on doors. So we had this time here, we'll talk to you. Will Hanna's in the studio. So join us here at 410-889 and be part of the 319-8888, 319-8888, and join us here for this conversation. We want to have you part of it. 410-319-8888. Will, let me just start off with why you are running. I mean, what is it? I mean, I know people have this thing inside them. They want to run because they want to be an elected official. They want to go to the House of Delegates and, you know, be a politician and all the rest. But why are you kind of the lone man out there running against three incumbents? What pushed you to run?
Well, as you mentioned, Mark, I am the president of New Park Heights Community Development Corporation. And in that, I've done a lot of community work over the past few years. And what I've seen in when we work with service providers, youth programs, and you name it, throughout the full gambit, is that they all have the same problems. They all have lack of resources. They all have all of those challenges that we all know what they are. But no one, and it seemed like everyone in Annapolis was very silent on a lot of the very serious issues that we faced. So when I made the decision to run, because a lot of people in the community said, we need somebody that's going to be effective. We need somebody that's going to give us some real leadership in Annapolis. And I had been recognized as one of those people, and I said, you know what? If the people want me to go, then I'll go. And that's why I made the decision, based on what people in the community felt as though what my experience was.
So, but what is it about what you've seen in the representation of the 40th District, which is a pretty big district? I mean, you include, your district goes, if I'm correct, over to Ashburton. Right? The Park Heights community.
Park Heights. It includes
Hamden,
Mondawmin, Ocantrolley Terrace, Greenmount Avenue, all the way over to Greenmount Monument, Charles Village, Johns Hopkins University, the school, Coppin Heights, Walbrook Junction, Poplar Grove, goes all the way as far west as Emerson and Poplar Grove. So it's pretty extensive districts, about 20% of the population of the city of Baltimore.
So, but I still not try to get a sense of what it is that you, I mean, you can, people can make a lot of arguments about what the government does not do for communities. But what is it about this particular community that you want to represent that you think has gone unrepresented?
Well, when we look at, we hear about all the situations, all the problems that go on throughout Baltimore City, whether it's youth programs, the schools, which are under the state's jurisdiction. We look at all other problems, public safety issues, housing, all of those which the state and the state legislature does have some input on how they can change those things, whether by legislation or just by activity. And the things that we have not seen, at least in the 40th district, is a lot of activity to address a lot of those concerns on the ground toward real issues that people have throughout the district and ultimately throughout the city. If you look at the 40th district, it is a wide representation of the city of Baltimore. It's very diverse, very multicultural. So like what we like to say is, as this 40th district goes, is a good representation of the city of Baltimore will go.
Well, in your time is, and folks, we're live. I want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. That we seem to be in a world where Many people are voting to have a change in who represents them. There have been a number of races in this town where that is taking place, that could be taking place. This may be one of them. Will Hanna's here. He's running to become a delegate from the 40th District. You can join us here at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. But in your time working in Park Heights and working in the part of Park Heights that's mostly poor and working class.
Yes.
And that's a huge piece of this district. Probably one of the lowest voter turnout places in your district as well, I would guess. I'm just curious, what's your experience there says to you about what you think needs to be done that's not being done?
If you look at, I'll take a snapshot of Park Heights. Park Heights is a community that has 2,100 vacant properties. It also has three recreation centers, two of which are in danger of being closed. It also has four K-8s and one K-5 elementary school, which are some of the not higher performing schools in the district. And it also is a community of 33,000 people that doesn't have a high school within it. It does have Northwestern and Douglas, which are outside of the community. And then you look at all of the public safety issues. It is Park Heights is number one in a lot of health areas, HIV, drug addiction, reentry. It's number one in those areas, which is not what we want to be number one in. So those issues, while some of them are city issues, some of them are cultural issues, but they are not begun to be addressed by anyone in state legislation. They've been totally silent on a lot of those issues.
410-319-8888. Let's go to the phones here. And Troy, in your car, you're on the air.
Yes, how y'all gentlemen doing?
Well, welcome.
Good.
Okay, let me ask you two questions. I'm elated to see that something's being done down on Sandtown as far as Pennsylvania Avenue and Baker Street, because I grew up on Golden, Pennsylvania, and I love the fact that they now building on Baker in Pennsylvania. As you come up Pennsylvania by Clifton, they begin to build all that up. That's great. But when will something like that start taking place in the Park Heights area? Because a few people telling me, well, I heard somebody say, by now, West Baltimore should be out Federal Hill. What do you think about that?
Interesting point, Troy. Will.
Well, as a lot of people know, there is a master plan for Park Heights. There's an agency that was designated to implement that master plan, Park Heights Renaissance. In that master plan, it has all of the, or it gives the framework for the redevelopment of the Park Heights community. Now, Park Heights is one of the only communities, if not the only community, in the city of Baltimore that has a dedicated funding source, which is a part of the Racetrack Impact Fund from the Pimlico Racetrack. So we've looked over the past 21 years as to where those funds have gone, and people always question, and you have a very valid question because people always ask, when is Park Heights going to get redeveloped? For the past 21 years, we know that there's been over $12 million that has come through Park Heights through the Racetrack Impact Fund, as documented by the Maryland Racing Commission. So while I work very closely with Park Heights Renaissance and how we can move forward to get the community revitalized and redeveloped, I think that in the new administration at PHR, I think that they have more plans now to move the community forward than what had been done in the past.
So if you're in the House of Delegates, what can you do about that?
Well, that can work in a lot of ways. One of the things that we did in Park Heights was I actually crafted the liquor bill that was there. And we look at that, it was significant because Park Heights is a community that has 43 liquor stores. That was significant because it changed some of the public safety issues that people had and the public health issues where people now can't go and get a drink at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we looked at, and one of the things that I was looking to, one of the proposals that I have is to fully fund the community schools program. It was a program that I oversaw in the community, and it worked. It increased the performance of the schools. It increased parental engagement, and it made the school excellent. This was Pimlico Elementary Middle, I'm speaking of. So the school is now fully fledging, and that program is working. So one of my proposals was to fully fund that program throughout Baltimore City. Not very expensive, but it actually works. One of the other things that we talked about was I had come up with a remedy to rid the city of the vacant housing, or address the vacant housing problem.
Now, let me, I'd like to hear that. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I continuously talk about is the idea of proposing community land trusts. And in the state of Maryland, there are no community land trusts. And people confuse that with a land bank. And there is a very distinct difference. What a community land trust is, it establishes affordable housing in communities for 99 years. It is a HUD product. So it qualifies for funding, just like a community housing development organization, or CHODO. So the city already receives set-aside funds for CHODOs through HUD. But it's also, you can partner those land trusts with financial institutions, but the beauty of them is that they are governed and operated by the community. The panel that establishes those are people from the community. So it's not government, it's not a government imposition. These community people are able to designate and dictate their own destinies for their community. The revenue that's generated from a land trust actually can go to fund your after-school programs and your youth programs and your recreation centers, things like that. And I know that there are some people now working on a citywide initiative for community land trust. So one quick example is if you took a parcel of land and put it into a land trust, and if it costs maybe $30,000 to $40,000 to redevelop, if that property is maintained for affordable housing, so let's say that property sells to a new homeowner, somebody that makes about $30,000 to $40,000 a year can afford to live in one of these houses that can sell for about $80,000. And it maintains that. So when they move out of that property or they decide to sell that property, it's done in an agreement to where that property will still go back to someone else that will come behind them and buy that property again for $80,000. And it's commensurate with the cost of living over time, but it only increases, I think, at $7,000 every 10 years.
Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. We said we're going to do a series of conversations with what I call the challengers, those who would be elected to office, and also invite those that are running against to come on. As I said earlier, that when we did this, Frank Conaway Jr. did not return our calls. Barbara Robinson didn't want to debate, wanted to come on alone. We couldn't do that for time reasons. And Sean Tarrant did have another meeting tonight that he could not make it here and is campaigning. 410-319-8888. Donna, you're on the air. Hi, Donna, you're on the air. Hello? You there? Donna?
Hello?
You're on the air.
I'm sorry. I thought I had lost the line.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I'm actually not a resident of Baltimore City. I'm actually from Washington, D.C., and I've lived in Baltimore now for about 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how the city works. I don't understand, you know, why there doesn't seem to be any improvement in these areas. And, you know, where is the money going? I mean, I was telling the gentleman on the phone that Power Street looks the same way it looked when I first moved there. Park Heights still looks the same, and this has been 8 years. So I just don't understand, you know, how the money is flowing or if the money is getting to where it needs to get. Because the city really could use a big facelift, you know, and not just the Park Heights area, but in throughout a lot of West Baltimore, a lot of east side of Baltimore as well, because I'm on the actually northeast side.
Will?
Thanks, Donna. If you look at the 40th District, and you have some of the more affluent areas, you have Roland Park, Ashburton, and other areas, but then you also have your areas. You have Gilmore Homes, you have Latrobe, you have Greenmount Avenue, you have Park Heights, you have those areas that are not doing as well, and they haven't been for some time. They haven't been for 20, 30 years. The problem with that is that no one has taken the initiative to say, how can we do this and then actually do it? So for me, it's been, and I've been, I'm a long time, I've a lifelong resident of Baltimore City. I've seen the city. I've seen how Murphy Homes was torn down and Lexington Terrace and Latrobe projects. But in 5 years that it took to build up Harbor East, you mean, and we've had master plans in these communities for 20 and 30 years, but we have not had the leadership to say the community should be more important than building up some of the commercial districts, or are they just as important? And where's the balance? So no one has actually taken the leadership to say, you know what? We need to put some focus. If we can put $500 million into Southeast Baltimore, into Harbor East, then we can also put $500 million into these communities throughout the city. And for me, it's a lack of leadership. And I think a lot of people see that the same way.
Donna, thanks for your call. 410-319-8888. Let's try to get this last caller in here for we have to take a break as we talk to Will Hanna. And John, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Don.
Well, welcome.
Good.
All right. I don't mean to just keep talking about the problems, because I do see progress in the city. But I just wanted to ask what is going on with the abandoned houses. And it's like so many of them in Baltimore City. And it seems like that the city should try to impose a fine to the owners of them and try to get them to, you know, get things going, or either auction them off if they're not trying to upkeep them, because it's just
kind of
locked apart.
Will?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in just my research and doing community work, the city of Baltimore has almost 35,000 vacant properties. And one of the things that's been proposed, I know by the council president, has been to impose, and I believe this bill is either pending or it's already been approved, was to impose additional fines of $100 to the property owners, which I personally didn't feel like, while I agree with the concept, I didn't agree that that fine was stiff enough, because what it does to the deterioration of the community is much more than $100 worth of work. But to answer your question, this is exactly what Community Land Trust does. It takes the properties out of the city's hands and puts it in the community's hands so that they can redevelop the properties. In those land trusts, you also can set up your apprenticeship programs. And a lot of us remember what they had back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We had a lot of apprenticeship programs around the city where we had people that did plumbing, carpentry, electrical work, architects, engineers. You can, and now with new technology, with green home development, all of that, those can become your incubators for that type of development. And you can have people actually in the community doing the work, developing their skills, and actually getting gainfully employed within their own community and renovating the community. So it's a win-win for everybody, and it doesn't cost the city a dollar.
Gloria, you're on the air with a very quick question. We all have a little bit of time left.
Oh, I wanted to know, with Park Heights Renaissance being one of the keepers of the money from the impact funds, what is your organization, or what do you plan to do to ensure that the people, the stakeholders in that community, do receive the money appropriately? Is there going to be some type of oversight there?
Well, one of the things that I personally had done in working with the residents and the community association presidents in Park Heights, is I requested a Public Information Act request to the State Comptroller, to the Attorney General's Office, and to the Department of Licensing Regulations, to DLLR, who oversees the Maryland Racing Commission. One of the things that we found out, and like I said, there's over $12 million that has come through Park Heights through the Racetrack Impact Fund. I've had a meeting with the Council President. We've talked about what or how that process can work, and looking at new ideas as to how those funds can flow through the community. In 2006, real quickly, in 2006, when Otis Rowley was the chair of the PCDA, who disperses the funds, the Pimlico Community Development Authority, they disperse those funds or decide how those funds are dispersed. In 2006, there was an RFP process that was done for these funds, and it was equally dispersed through an RFP process, and the community benefited from it. Now those funds are now being received by PHR, and in all fairness, the community should be entitled to some oversight as to how those funds are being used.
We have to take a break. Will Hanna, it's been great to have you here. Sorry the other people didn't show up to debate you. Will Hanna wants to be a member of the House of Delegates from the 40th District. He's one of the challengers that we're featuring. He has laid some of his ideas out for you. Remember, you can vote now.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, starting early voting starts tomorrow. So line up and vote for the person you want to see represent you in Annapolis this coming January. Well, Hannah, good luck. Good to see you.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll be right back. When we come back, we will talk about Your Money Matters and hear from Tyson Slocum. Don't go away. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to Your Money Matters with MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Today, we're talking with Mike Bell, who's president and CEO of the Maryland and D.C. Credit Union Association. You're becoming a regular here, Mike. Good to have you back here in the studio.
Glad to be here.
So let's talk a bit. We're in a market now where people are saying this is the best time for individuals to kind of refinance their homes. And of course, people financing their homes is how we got into this mess in the beginning. Partially how we got into this mess in the beginning. So what's happening at the moment?
Historically low rates, and rates that have even drifted lower, I think, than experts predicted. So it is time to take a look and see what your – first of all, every person here ought to know the rate that their current mortgage is at. If you don't know that, go back and look in the documents.
A surprising number of people probably do not know.
They do not know what rate they're at, and they do not know whether they have an adjustable rate mortgage. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage in particular, you need to look at, in this environment, about jumping to a 30-year fixed rate or a 15-year fixed rate loan, because you can lock in a rate that's not going to rise on you over time, and rates will go up at some point over time. So it's a great opportunity to do that. We do think that, you know, folks are obviously worried about their credit history. How will that come across? What their credit score will be? But my advice to folks is it's better to know what the problems you may face are by going to your local credit union, sitting down with a loan officer, going through the process. You may not get the answer you want the first time, but I think knowing what it may be the issue with your house, it may be the amount of equity you have in it, it may be a credit blemish, but addressing those now will still give you the opportunity, hopefully, to be able to get into a lower rate, even lower your payment during this historic time.
Once you've gotten your house, before you can get a mortgage in, you have to have your home reassessed, right?
That's right. Yeah, they're going to go in and assess the value.
So you have to find an assessor, so the bank does, or you have to find somebody to go in and do that.
Yeah, the credit union will do that. Yeah, they will go in, and when you apply, they're going to do an assessment of the value and look at, obviously, what you owe on your current house if you're going to refinance it that
way.
And
that'll cost you X amount of dollars whether you get the loan or not.
Yeah, and this is an important place to look, because what we've seen during this time period, again, where banks are really squeezed and very much trying to get profits out of products like this, that fees on the refinancing are where you've got to watch and look out. And credit unions are going to offer all of those sorts of loans with far less fees attached to them. So, yeah, there's going to be a fee to get your house assessed, but you're going to be able to look at it and sit down and, I think, get to the end result with far fewer dollars paid out at the beginning.
It's probably not a question, maybe not completely a fair question, but what happens to the numbers of people that have homes because they bought in the bubble and the homes are not worth what they thought they were worth?
Well, that's where I think you've got to come up with a plan. You've got to start looking at your situation. So that's why I say to folks, look, if you don't know what rate you're at and if you don't know where you are in the assessed value of your home, it's good to know now. And look, you can begin to get a plan together. These rates aren't going to change dramatically over the next months and maybe even till early next year. So there is still time to be able to either, you know, pay down on your home and be able to get back underneath, or to look at other options, which, you know, maybe it's time to try to sell the home and buy a different home that's of lesser value that you can get into. So, you know, there's lots of ways that consumers really need to use this time with these rates to plan where they're going to live for the next 15, 20, 30 years.
And is it fair to say that rates will probably not go any lower than they are now?
Well, it's hard to say where the bottom is, but we're down in the 15 years, you know, into the low fours. It's hard to imagine them going much lower.
That's pretty low.
But that's very low. And that's why folks need to look at doing this, because you know, if you can get into that sort of 4% rate, your payment ought to be able to go down in that environment.
Is the process any different in any one of the credit unions we have in the state than they would be at a for-profit, or is it pretty much the same process?
I think you'll find that it's a friendlier process. I think you'll find it's a process where people are willing to sit down and talk to you about what's going on. You're not a number. This isn't going off in a batch, to Buffalo, New York for a review. It's going to be reviewed right here in Baltimore. So you're going to sit down with a person that's probably going to be working and approving your loan. And I think you got to be able to know the local marketplace because, you know, even depending on where you are in the city or in the suburbs, values can be dramatically different. So it helps to have a local person working on this with you.
So, folks, now's the time to reassess what you think about your house and look into remortgaging while these rates are as low as they are. And Mike Bell, it's been a great pleasure to meet you and have you in these conversations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mike Bell is President and CEO of the Maryland and D.C. Credit Union Association. And you've been listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by MeQ. MeQ, invest in yourself and we'll invest in you. More information, 1-800-248-MECU or www.MECU.com.